Revelation chapter 19, verse number 10. Would you like to stand for the reading of the Word this morning? Revelation chapter 19. I'm going to get to verse 10, but let's go back up to verse number 7 and kind of get the framework for this scripture here. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said unto me, See thou do it not. Now He heard the voice and this great revelation of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And John is so overwhelmed, he falls at His feet to worship Him. But it's not the Lord, it's an angel. And He said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I need Your help here this morning. We thank You that we have already experienced a visitation from You, and You have encouraged us so much, Lord, and we're so grateful for it. But Lord, now it has fallen my lot to try to add something to this service, and I pray that You would grant me an unction and an ability, Lord, that comes from You. And we pray that You would speak to every heart and draw us all closer to You. In Jesus' name we give You the praise. Amen. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. I'm really happy to have Brother and Sister Watley with us from our church down in South Carolina. This is their first time up here, and they've been enjoying getting acquainted with all of you and enjoying this meeting, and we're certainly glad that they're here this week behind us, starting Sunday, and then we have regular Tuesday night service. So Sunday night, and then on Tuesday night, Brother and Sister Watley had two of their grandchildren filled with the Holy Ghost. Teenagers in our church that got the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Spirit of God moved on Sunday. We had three filled with the Holy Ghost. A couple got saved on Sunday. Three went through to the Holy Ghost. And then we come back for Tuesday night service, and their granddaughter got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, we've been experiencing revival, and I'm glad to be able to report that to you. Amen. Praise God. I want to try to speak to you. Brother Finley has told you in advance that I'd be speaking on the spirit of prophecy, and I guess we'll just go with that title. I really just want to remind us today that we are Pentecostal, and we do believe in the Holy Ghost, don't we? Amen. We believe in being filled with the Spirit. We believe in the supernatural gifts and the manifestations of the Spirit. We are Pentecostal, amen. And I believe that prophecy is one of our forgotten, if not forsaken, gifts from the New Testament, and that we need to give some consideration to what prophecy is. Though we've been talking about prophecy all through this conference, the different predictions of future events and the things that we're looking forward to experiencing in the very near future. But I believe that prophecy is not just the predicting of future events, but it is also the revelation of God's will, even on a day-to-day basis. It's God's making known His purposes and plans for us. Amen. And John says here that the angel said to him, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. I know that everybody gets a little nervous when you get to talking about prophesying and prophets and, you know, giving a word from the Lord. But even though there have been some abuses and there have been some wild things that have gone on in the name of prophecy, there is still a real prophecy. Amen. I believe that God's able to speak. I've been a victim of some of those wild shenanigans too. When I was a young Christian, just a new Christian, I was in a church service. They lined up all the young people across the front, and this lady come up and she was going to prophesy over all of the young people. And they got the music going and the rhythm going just right, and you know, and when she got in that groove, you know, and got in that rhythm, she come down through there and laid her hands one by one on each of us young people, and she'd put the palm of her hand on our forehead and kind of to the rhythm of the music, kind of ba-boom, ba-boom thing going on there. And she come down through there and, you know, swaying to the music. The Lord thy God, ba-boom, ba-boom, boom, says unto thee, ba-boom, ba-boom, boom, you're going to be a missionary. And all down through there. And even after I got older and hopefully a little wiser and was pastoring over in Missouri years ago, I had a lady come to our church that... She got a little on the wild side. One night she got up and attempting to prophesy or say, you know, give some revelation that she believed came from the Lord, got so far-fetched and out of control. I had to set her down and then explain to all the congregation all the reasons why what she said was totally far-fetched and off the wall. And then later that night, or I should say about 3 o'clock in the morning, she called me, woke me up out of a sound sleep to tell me that God had just revealed to her that I was the Antichrist. So look no further, folks. You found him. But even though we've got maybe some bad memories like that, I think we need to remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20, where the Apostle Paul simply said, "Despise not prophesying." We've heard a word from the Lord in this service this morning. And not just the sermon that we heard from Brother Webb a few minutes ago, but before that in the worship service, without tongues and interpretation, the Lord spoke to us here this morning. And I believe, amen, that these gifts of prophecy need to be functioning in the church. Amen. But let me get to my text just for a moment. I'm a little ahead of myself here. Revelation chapter 19 here in verse number 10. John had fallen down to worship before what he didn't know, and then found out that it was an angel. And this angel said, "Don't worship me. Worship God. I am your fellow servant." Now in chapter 22 of Revelation, and I'm not sure that this is the same angel, but in Revelation chapter 22, an angel says, "I am of thy fellow servants, the prophets." It was an angel. I don't believe that it was a resurrected prophet. They were angels, but yet he was making the point that I am just your fellow servant, and I am telling you things by this spirit of prophecy, by this ability that comes from God. And here he says in chapter 19, verse 10, "The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Now, I want to preach this morning, really, on the Holy Ghost and prophecy. I'd really like to just make us aware of the fact that we need the Holy Ghost. And as we're approaching the end times, we're going to need Him more than ever before. In fact, I believe that that's one of the reasons why the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but the so much the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. It's not that we're going to need padded pews and the comfort of familiar surroundings. I believe that gathering together is going to expose us to the powerful workings of the Holy Ghost, amen, and God's ability to help us to comprehend what He's doing in these last days. As we see the day of the Lord approaching, we're going to need church and need each other and need the working of the Holy Ghost like never before. Amen. This is a strange scripture that I've chosen as my text because it is the only place in the Bible that this phrase is used. It's the only place that we hear of the spirit of prophecy. Amen. And as I've already said, what I want to do in this message is to make the connection between prophecy and the Holy Ghost. But the problem is that this verse doesn't say Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. It just says Spirit. And it may be that when we read it, we're tempted to just read on by it real quick and think to ourselves, well, that spirit there just means maybe the general idea of something, or the heart of the matter, or maybe something like the basic feeling behind prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Amen. But that is to misunderstand what the word spirit means there. Amen. Spirit, in this sense, was used by Jesus when he said, they that worship God, the time is coming, he said, when you're not going to worship at this mountain or that mountain, amen, but you're going to worship God. They that worship God will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, this doesn't mean, like we hear so many people say, I won't be able to be at church next Sunday, Pastor, but I'll be there in spirit. Amen. That's not how you get your help in church. Amen. You know, just the general idea that I'm going to be there in spirit and in truth tells us the type of worship that God receives. In truth means there's a right way to worship God. Amen. And we must worship Him honestly and respectfully, truthfully. There is a right way to worship God. But in spirit refers to the depth of our worship, meaning that worship can't just flow from our head. It has to flow from our heart. It has to be spiritual worship. You don't worship God on accident. You have to worship God on purpose. Amen. It is a made-up mind. It is a combination of the will and emotion blending together from down deep inside of you. You are worshiping God. The spirit of prophecy, then, is not just the general idea of something. It is deep. It is spiritual. I believe that we can make the connection here that the spirit of prophecy is breathed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus said, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me. And ye shall also bear witness, because you have been with Me from the beginning. Amen. He said, when the Comforter is come, when the Holy Ghost come, He will testify of Me. Now, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. I believe that the Holy Ghost tells us everything we need to know about Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is, amen, the testifying about everything that Jesus is and all that He has done and all that He is doing and all that He will yet do. The testimony of Jesus. Would you help me preach just a little while this morning? Amen. To give a testimony, of course, to be a witness and to testify to something is to be able to give a first-hand account. To tell what you saw, what you know, amen, is the truth. You are a witness. You have testified to it. Amen. The testimony of Jesus, then, is the communication of what we know about Jesus, what we have experienced from Him. We know about Him from the past. We have the record of His life and His ministry and His workings. So we testify what we know about Him. We testify about what we have experienced in the past, what we are experiencing now. But the spirit of prophecy is a testimony about Jesus and His dealings yet to come. What He is going to do in the near future and the future a little farther distant. But it is the knowledge, the spirit of prophecy is to communicate what Jesus is going to do, and to communicate it with such clarity and conviction as if we have experienced it firsthand. Amen. The spirit of prophecy come upon the prophets of old. They begin to reveal things as if they saw it happening, and it hadn't happened yet and wouldn't happen for hundreds of years. John began to explain to us the things that were coming yet ahead that Jesus was going to do. Amen. It was the spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus. Now let me just remind you of this. We often say, in referring to the last book of the Bible, as the book of Revelations, but that's not the correct name. It's not plural. It's singular. It's not Revelations. It's Revelation. Amen. And very specifically, chapter 1, verse 1, John said, this is the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Everything about the book of Revelation is a testimony of what Jesus is going to be doing in the very near future. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe, amen, that that we need to remember that while John received these revelations in a multiplied way, amen, a combination of experiences that included visions and angelic visits, but don't disconnect this fact that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Would you say amen? That's where it began. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Amen. We need to get in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, don't we? We need to get in the Spirit. We felt that Spirit yet this morning. We need the Holy Ghost moving in our services and in our individual lives. Now let me tell you, I really started thinking along these lines back around Christmas time. I was preparing some messages for a series, on the birth of Christ and the Christmas story. And I was, you know, talking about the different characters of Christmas and just looking at different aspects of the first advent of Christ. Amen. His incarnation in this world. And what a wonderful, amen, season it is when we keep focused on the true meaning of Christmas. Amen. And during that time, I picked up on, it just seemed like I just kept hearing people talking about the true spirit of Christmas, the spirit of Christmas. You know, snowflakes and hot cocoa. This is the spirit of Christmas. Somehow or another, you know, Santa Claus and reindeer and snowflakes and hot cocoa was somehow going to make all the world all right because that's the spirit of Christmas. Amen. Even people out ringing their bells and gathering up toys and all of that. You know, give and generously give because giving is the spirit of Christmas, the true spirit of Christmas. Well, listen, I believe that generosity certainly speaks of God. Amen. But I know what the true spirit of Christmas is, and you do too. And He has a name. Amen. Praise God. He is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He is the true spirit of Christmas. Somebody say amen. And I found that out when I was reading in the book of Luke. Let me go there and just point out a few things here this morning. Going back to the first advent now and trying to tail this all together as the spirit of prophecy. Amen. Now, if you would broaden out just a little bit, I believe that the Christmas story, the advent of Jesus, is told not just in the manger scene, but when you broaden out, this whole event really covers a period of about 15 months, and then add 8 days after he was born, and include all of that. That's what I would consider the advent story. Amen. So let's go back 6 months before Mary gets her message that she's going to be expecting the Savior of the world. Amen. Another miracle happens. There's a priest by the name of Zechariah. Amen. He's ministering in the temple one day and some strange, mysterious thing happens. An angel shows up. Amen. And tells him that he and his wife, they're going to have a baby. John the Baptist. Y'all with me this morning? Amen. And they're going to have a baby. Of course, Zechariah, he's confused by this. He gets a little, you know, upset. He's not quite sure how this all going to happen. The angel reaches in, grabs his tongue, stretches it out real long. Amen. Pinches his vocal cords and says, buddy, you're not going to say another word until the baby's born. Amen. Rolls his tongue back up in his head. Now, that wasn't in the Bible. You know that. But that miracle did happen. 9 months, he didn't say a word. Amen. Now, 6 months into the pregnancy, is when Mary gets the message from the angel. And the angel tells her, this is the sixth month with your cousin Elizabeth. So that's how I get the 6 months there. And Mary decides to go up and visit her cousin Elizabeth. And now I want you to get this, because this was sure exciting to me. Amen. Mary goes on a trip to go up and visit her cousin Elizabeth. And as she approaches the house there and sees Elizabeth, the Bible says that she saluted her. Actually, it just says that Elizabeth heard the salutation. A salutation was just a greeting. Hello. Hi. Hey. However you say it. Maybe she said, Shalom. I don't know what she were. It was only a greeting. Just a salutation. No conversation. Amen. No discussion. No comparing notes on what had happened or what the angels had said. She just said, hey, hello, Shalom. Amen. Suddenly, the Holy Ghost comes on Elizabeth. Well, actually, amen. The first thing happens is the baby leaps inside her. Amen. You remember what the angel had told Zechariah? That baby, amen, he's going to be special. He's not going to drink wine. He's going to be sanctified to God. But he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Amen. I believe that's the moment that it happened. When Mary saluted Elizabeth, the babe leaped inside her. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. But then the Bible says that Elizabeth, that's verse 41, was filled with the Holy Ghost also. Amen. And she begins to speak with a loud voice. Amen. I love that. We Pentecostals need to align places like that. We get bombarded, you know, for being loud and boisterous. Why then, when the Holy Ghost came on Elizabeth, the Bible says she spoke out with a loud voice. Amen. She began to praise the Lord. She begins to magnify God. But that's not the only thing. Amen. Elizabeth, amen, the Holy Ghost comes on her and she starts prophesying. She starts speaking the word of the Lord. Amen. She begins to say, amen, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Amen. The Holy Ghost is speaking through Elizabeth. Amen. Now there's a connection made. Hallelujah. I have real slow internet service down there in South Carolina. Amen. Old-fashioned dial-up service. So when I go to connect, you hear the dial-up tone, you know, and then you hear that fuzzy sound, and then the boing, ding, ding, boing, boing, and then the sign comes up, says, you're connected. Amen. Praise God. I don't know that there's anything like this going on, but Mary said hello. Elizabeth gets filled with the Holy Ghost. She starts praising God and prophesying. Amen. And her and Mary get connected. And Mary starts rejoicing and praising the Lord. And she starts prophesying too. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Now, we're going to jump forward just a little ways. Actually, Mary stays there 3 months and leaves just before John the Baptist is born. She just missed the event. But she goes back, and then we read the account of the birth of Jesus, the magnificent center point of all human history. Jesus incarnated into this world, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. Amen. The beautiful, mysterious and majestic story of Jesus born into this world. And then 8 days afterwards, Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple for to do to him as was the custom of those days. Amen. To dedicate him to the Lord. Now something happens here. Amen. Y'all with me? Praise God. Brother and Sister Brock, would you help me out here just a little bit? Come on, Brother and Sister Brock. Hey, man, I know that they're getting up closer to my age, but we're going to let them be Mary and Joseph over here. Good. All right, Joseph, baby in arms there. bringing him to the temple. There seems to be some indication here. They didn't have an appointment. They didn't have it scheduled. I don't know how they did it in those days, but they just brought him to the temple. Amen. And there's a priest there, Simeon. He's not in the temple. I don't know. Maybe he's back there in the office transcribing scriptures. No, what he's not in the temple. Maybe it's his day off and he wasn't even there. I don't know. But I know this, that the Bible says that Simeon was a devout man. And he was one that was looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost had revealed to him. You talk about the true spirit of Christmas now. The Holy Ghost had revealed to him that he would not taste death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Amen. Had revealed that to him. He's out here working hard somewhere or in the office. And this man that's sensitive to the Holy Ghost all of a sudden hears a whisper in his ear or in his heart, because the Bible says he came by the Spirit. He came by the Spirit. This is the book of Luke. Amen. He came by the Spirit into the temple. In other words, the Holy Ghost said, get up and go to the temple. You mean now? Now! Get up! Go to the temple! Lord, if they'll sing that song one more time, I'll go. Come on now. If you'll let Brother So-and-so around the church, I'll go. I'll do it, Lord. Not Simeon. Amen. He came by the Spirit. That aged man. Amen. He begins to hobble up the steps. All right, Lord, I'm going. The Holy Ghost, get to the temple. Get to the temple. All right, I'm going, Lord. I'm going, Lord. I'm going to get there as soon as I can. I'm going. I'm going. I'm going up to the temple. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And there they were, that couple. Never seen him before. Didn't know anything about him. Amen. He approaches this young couple. He doesn't know what this is all about. But the Spirit told him, get up to the temple. Amen. When he comes over here, he sees the baby, and instantly the Holy Ghost comes upon him. Woo! Hallelujah. The power of God comes upon him, and he begins to prophesy. Amen. He begins to speak this child. Amen. And begins to make predictions about the future of this child. Amen. He says, this is the one I've been looking for. He's the one the Lord told me I would not die to. This is him. I found him. Oh, praise God. We're not done yet. Amen. There's an aged lady that hangs around the temple quite a bit, praying and fasting and seeking the Lord. Her name is Anna. Amen. And the Bible doesn't say that she received the Holy Ghost, but it does say specifically she was a prophetess. She was a prophetess of the Lord. An aged woman that sought the Lord daily. And she came in, the Bible says, at that precise moment, that instant. She came in and she was so moved by it that she gave thanks also. Praise God. Got to rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. Thank you, brother and sister Brock. Let me show you something real quick here. You may be wondering where I'm going with this in future prophecy and the gift of prophecy. But I want to point this out to you in the book of Luke. When we read about Simeon, Luke chapter 2, verse 25, the Bible says that he was one of those that was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Luke chapter 2, verse 38, I want you to get this. And she coming in, this is that scripture about Anna. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. There's Simeon waiting. And there's Anna and this unnamed group. We don't know who they are. But she went around telling everybody who was looking for the consolation of, or the redemption of Jerusalem, I saw him. He's here. There seems to have been a subculture of people in Jerusalem at that day who had got a hold of something that the studious priest hadn't got a hold of. Amen. The priest, they knew all the prophecies. They knew the prophecies. And on up till the dying day of Jesus on the cross, they could not make the connection of a suffering Savior and a coming King. Amen. So how is it that there's this group of people, they believe, amen, He's coming, He's coming, He's coming. They're waiting for Him and they're looking for Him. Waiting for Him and looking for Him. Praise God, there is something going on in this subculture of people. Not everybody's going to receive it. Not everybody's going to believe it. Amen. There's going to be some of those learned professors, amen, up there in those big universities, pull their spectacles down in their nose and say, well, that can't happen, and you know, because the millennium's got to happen, and you know, don't believe that this can happen until that happens, and it's probably not going to happen, and maybe it had to do with history anyways, and we don't, they don't get it. Amen. Because they're not in the spirit of things. Y'all still here? Woo! Amen. Praise God. They're not in the spirit of it. Amen. They're not in the Holy Spirit of it. They haven't got the Holy Ghost that's burning like a fire in their soul, shedding light on things that they've never seen before, exciting them to no end, to believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's something bigger, something better that's going to happen soon. Something speaking to us to say, maybe we can take a bypass around the graveyard. Amen. I believe Brother Randy Webb was getting in the spirit of things this morning, don't you? Y'all know what I'm saying. I'm not belittling the spirit of things. I'm trying to make the connection here. Amen. That the Holy Ghost is what makes the difference. The Holy Ghost made the difference in the first advent of Jesus. I believe that as we get closer to the end times, the Holy Ghost will make a difference for us also. Amen. We read on Bible prophecy and study Bible prophecy, but most of those books are written by people who don't have the Holy Ghost. Amen. That while we study and we're interested in all the controversial subjects, let us not forget the importance of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe that the Holy Ghost can say things to us, show us things, and give us a general feeling about what's going on in the plan of God. Amen. It's the testimony of Jesus. Jesus is at work in His church today. Amen. Jesus is up to something. Jesus is still alive and well. He hasn't forgot us. He hasn't forsaken us. And He is coming back soon. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Jesus warned us in the last days. I believe the overwhelming sign of the end times, the overwhelming sign of the end times is not the famines and pestilences and earthquakes and all of those heavenly atmospheric signs. But I believe that Jesus in Matthew 24 kept emphasizing, amen, that there was going to be a spirit of deception at work in the last days. Be not deceived, He said. Let no man deceive you. Many false Christs will come in My name. Don't go out there. Amen. It's not Me. Don't fall. He warned us over. There's going to be a spirit of deception at work in the world in the last days. Amen. If there is a spirit of deception at work in this world, how much more do we need a spirit of prophecy at work in the church? Amen. A sanctified group of people, sort of a subculture, if you'll allow me to say that, who are waiting and looking for, amen, the consolation and redemption that God has promised, a people who feel a fire burning in their soul and know, amen, God is doing something in our day. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, I believe that we need to get back to our Holy Ghost Pentecostal heritage. Get back to our Holy Ghost roots. Amen. It's not that we've forgotten and forsaken altogether, but so many of our churches have become so dead, so callous, so cold. Amen. We go week after week after week. We don't have messages spontaneously given out like we heard this morning. Very few Pentecostal churches now are even exercising the gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues. I'm not trying to encourage some wildfire here this morning, but I do believe that there is a true fire, a true gift of the Spirit. Amen. In fact, I believe that the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, amen, that there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. Amen. There is, of course, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Amen. You can divide them up in several different ways, but one way is you might say that there are 3 visible gifts, which would include faith, healing, and miracles, and there are 6 vocal gifts. And those vocal gifts are God's way of communicating to us, amen, in spiritual application on a regular basis. I believe that tongues and interpretation are one of those ways. A word of wisdom. A word of knowledge. Amen. Now, I already said that we've, in a lot of ways, got away from this, but let me back up because I feel like we do make a mistake sometimes, myself included, in overjudging and being too severe about this, because I think that we do have a lot of these gifts in operation, and sometimes the problem isn't with the operation of the gift, it's recognizing the gift when it operates. I believe that many of our preachers, while they are preaching, amen, have exercised the gifts of the Spirit, but we're so distracted, we didn't recognize it. We expected an angel to come down with a sign that says, "Now we will have a word of wisdom." Come on now. Or, you know, one of the deacons will stand up and say, "Pastor is going to give us a word of knowledge." That's not the way it works. Amen. Sure has known those times when we went to the pulpit with a sermon and started into our sermon and then a message came out. Y'all still here? Amen. Suddenly, there was a spiritual dimension to it that allowed us to know something, see something, say something that we couldn't have known or said had it not been for the Holy Ghost working in us. Amen. So I don't want to be too harsh here. I believe that we have had the gifts of the Spirit in operation in our services, but we need to be more alert and aware to that. When I was a brand new Christian, I'd got saved 2 weeks before Easter 1974. I was baptized on Easter Sunday, 2 weeks later, of course, and then 2 weeks after that, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I had an Easter experience, a resurrection experience. Some of you have heard my testimony. You know that I was unknowledgeable about the things of God. I was a long-haired hitchhiking hippie when the Lord found me. I got saved in West Virginia, and I made a contact within those first few days to a Church of God just down the hill from us. We lived up a mountain and at Beaumont, West Virginia. And down there at the base of the mountain was a bridge that crossed the Elk River. Queen Shoals was a little community there just up above Clendenin. And there was a Church of God there. And I got acquainted. And Brother Bill Hansen was the pastor there. And he'd heard of my conversion and asked me if I'd been baptized in water. No, I hadn't. And so I asked him if he would baptize me. And his son, Buck Hansen, who I later became close friends with, Buck Hansen actually did the baptism. Brother Hansen was an aged preacher. And I don't tell this story very often. Just very few times have I ever told this publicly, but I just want to make a point here. I went down into the muddy waters of the Elk River that day. Brand new convert, 2 weeks old. I still had long hair down past my shoulders. Amen. That's a sight to try to imagine, isn't it? And just new convert, went down there in the water and came up. My long, wet, straggly hair laying against my shirt as I come up on the bank. And there was old Brother Hansen, the old Church of God preacher, tears running down his face. He come over and he hugged me. He said, "Mike, while you were in the water, I had a vision of you. He said, I saw you following Jesus and a multitude of young people following you. I didn't know what it meant. I don't think he knew what it meant. But he obeyed in sharing with me what he felt, and I believe it was sincere. And many years later, after LaDonna and I got married and had traveled around doing youth camps and revivals and kids' crusades and so on and so forth, preaching youth banquets and so on, one day the Lord brought that back to my memory. And I said, I've got to call and see if Brother Hansen is still alive. And I called him. His voice was wavering and quivering. I said, Brother Hansen, do you remember me? Yes, Mike, I remember you. I said, well, I just want to tell you what the Lord has done. It's been many years now since then. And I said, but God has given me a youth ministry. Amen. And all across the country, we preached youth camps and youth revivals and so on. Amen. I believe that His vision came to pass. I believe that His word of prophecy gave me the extra motivation that there was more for me yet ahead. There was a long distance between, amen, that period of time and when it happened. But I saw the true operation of it. And I believe that God wants to use the gifts of the Spirit even yet today. Can you say amen? One time, LaDonna and I were out at Bristow. We were talking to Brother L.D. Moore. Many of you have had similar experiences to this. And because Brother Moore is so special in this respect. But we were talking to Brother Moore, just having casual conversation. And we split to go in our separate ways and get ready for service or whatever. And Brother Moore stopped and he got that look on him. And he turned around and he said, Blue, it's going to be okay. Not now. Later. And he looked at me for a moment and then walked off. A broken sentence that really didn't clarify what it was that he was talking about. But I knew that there was something spiritual going on in that moment. A few months later, my wife gave birth to our son, Brandon, and afterwards had terrible complications. We had started revival down in Gadsden, Alabama, and an ice storm come, complicating things. We had to cancel services. We were held up in our travel trailer. She was in agony, just pain in her body. We didn't know it until she finally went to the doctor how near death she was. But the doctor said that she was very near death, complications. And we were in that little travel trailer, gloomy, ice storm. Everything looked bad. And I was kneeling beside her and praying and calling out to God. And suddenly, like a thundering voice, not externally but internally, I recalled those words that Brother Moore had said. It's gonna be all right. Not now, but later. This is the now. Amen. It's gonna be all right. Praise God. LaDonna and I raised our hands and began to worship God. That broken sentence was all it took to help get us through one of the worst trials and difficulties of our life. Amen. I don't know that Brother Moore, what he would call it, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy. I don't know what to call it myself. But I'd like to preach to us this morning that there is a realm in the Spirit that we need to get back to, that we need to be conscious of, that we need to be obedient to. I believe the Holy Ghost, amen, wants us to be spiritual in these last days. There's things that He wants to show us and say to us. Amen. If there's anything controversial about this message, it's what I'm about to say right now. So I'll just say that right up front. Amen. I believe that there are even prophecies in the Bible, such as Daniel said, amen, that the Bible says, seal it up until the time of the end. Amen. Why would he receive the prophecy and not be able to share it with us? It's sealed up till the time of the end. That seems to imply that it might be unsealed at the end. Amen. I don't know who is going to unseal it unless it's that sealed book that we heard some preaching about already this week. But I do believe that in the end, some things are going to be unsealed. They are going to be revealed, shown to us. Amen. as we get closer and closer to the end. New light? No, I'm not saying that. In every new revelation will always conform to the old revelation. They will never be in conflict. Amen. They will never be in conflict. God is not going to tell you something, amen, that's contrary to His written word already. Amen. But can we at least open up our minds to the possibility, amen, that there might be prophets among us, that God may want to use some of us? One more thing. I'm almost done. I just want to throw this out. Amen. Not only the Holy Ghost gifts that I mentioned a few minutes ago, but the gifts that Jesus left to His church. Amen. Five ministries He left to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We don't have any problem with pastors. Amen. We call them pastors. We think we know what teachers are. Evangelists. Amen. We call them evangelists. We struggle with apostle a little bit. Some of us call them missionaries or church planters or something like that. But, amen, where are the prophets? Amen. We're afraid of that term. We're afraid. We're nervous about it. Amen. Of course, there are some very qualifying, there are some very strict qualifications in the Old Testament about prophets. You can't say, "Thus saith the Lord," if the Lord hasn't spoken. Amen. And so there's some strict qualifications. But the New Testament, book of Acts, is filled with the results of Pentecost. Amen. The daughters that prophesied. Agabus that prophesied. Amen. The word of the Lord. Paul said, "I want to go here." And the Lord said, "No, don't go there." Amen. We need the operation of the Holy Ghost and prophecy in our church. Would you stand together with me this morning? Amen. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. Amen. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Everything we say, do, is going to glorify Jesus. Or it's not real. It's amazing to me the numbers of people that rush out to buy their latest copy of the Enquirer so they can read what's on in Hollywood along with what Nostradamus said is going to happen. Come on now. Or their horoscope in between. That's not how we hear from the Lord. That's not how we get our direction. Amen. I believe that it's possible that the Holy Ghost can guide us, lead us, show us what to do. Amen. I need seven pastors real quick to stand out here in the front. I'm going to close with this little illustration. How about you two brothers? Brother Suits, there's three. Amen. Do I have any other pastors? All right. There's three, four, five. I need two more. Amen. Well, be seated just a moment. Here's one other thing that might be controversial to some. I said one thing, be controversial. This may be another. Amen. Let me talk just for a moment about the seven churches of Asia. Amen. John, the first thing he gets in that revelation on the island of Patmos is about the condition of the seven churches. They were real churches in real places. Amen. But Jesus said, write to the angel of the church. Just so that, let's find out if I'm controversial or not. Who do you believe that the angel is? You say the pastor? Anybody? How many of you agree with that? The angel of the church is the pastor. All right, so I'm not too far-fetched. Man, write to the angel, the pastor of Ephesus, the pastor of Smyrna, the pastor of Pergamos, the pastor of Thyatira, the pastor of Sardis, write to the pastor of the church of Philadelphia and the pastor of the church of Laodicea and send them these messages. Now how we apply this, we're disagreed on. The common belief is that these seven churches also represent seven different church ages. Seven different church ages. And ending with Laodicea being the last church age. I can believe that. It's a very interesting study of church in history. But what if it's just as simple as a prophetic double reference, meaning, amen, that this is a preview of how it's going to be at the end. The church just before the coming of the Lord, just before the end time events. And there's not just one condition, but seven different conditions. Amen. This church may have this problem, false doctrine. This one, amen, this church here, they did not lose their first love. We always say that, but that's not what the Bible says. They didn't lose their first love. They did what? They left their first love. Amen. False doctrines. Amen. Jezebel teaching. This final church here, rich and creased with goods. But, amen, we know they're wretched, poor, naked, miserable. They're not anywhere near. There's two in here that five of them get a condemnation from Jesus Himself. But two of them get a commendation. You're doing good. Hang in there. You're doing all right. He didn't point out anything wrong with them. But yet, the spirit of prophecy come on John and said, write to those pastors and tell them, don't get discouraged. Tell their churches, keep up the good work. Amen. Praise God. Now listen, what if in these last days, what if, amen, Brother Pollard he's off in a time of fasting and prayer and the Spirit of God falls on him. We have confidence in Brother Pollard. The Holy Ghost comes on him and he says, I want you to write to the pastor and tell him this. Now, this is John and the seven churches of Asia, but let's imagine it in our day. Amen. He writes and sends these letters to the pastors. He doesn't come and preach to all these churches and tell them all that's wrong with the church. He writes a letter. So now each of these pastors hold in their hand a message from Jesus Himself. Brother Suit said sometimes it's a phone call. Each of them now has a message. The Lord told me to tell you.
Amen. You preach right. Come on, brother.
Holy God. What are we going to do? I don't believe that. That's crazy, this prophesying stuff. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with my church. Y'all still here? Who's he to tell me? Who's he to tell me? Come on now. Amen. Now, I'm going over time. I'm sorry, Brother Finley. I'm going to close real quick here. I just want to say this. That the Lord told the church of Laodicea, told the pastor of that church, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and rebukes. He's not given up on these churches. As bad as they are. As bad as they are, He hasn't given up. I don't know how these churches got in these conditions. Either the pastor didn't see what was going on, or he lacked the courage to deal with it. Y'all still here? Amen. But the Lord hasn't given up on these pastors either. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and rebukes. There's hope. He wants these pastors to revive. Do your job. Do your work. Get on fire. Amen. Take control. Be the man of God we're supposed to be. Speak up. And the message is right there.
Right.
You tell your church, this is what they need to change. This is what they need to do. Amen. Now they open these letters. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Woo! Hallelujah. They open up the letter and they unfold this message. And it can either be cold, dead words on a piece of paper written by the hand of a man in ink. Or there can be some wind come up out of that envelope. Some spirit come along with it. Amen. And this pastor break out in tears.
Right.
Feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And suddenly say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to have revival more than ever before. Amen. And he's encouraged and he stands up. And the church is been made prepared and ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. That's all I'm trying to say about the spirit of prophecy. About getting a message from God. A new birth of inspiration. Now, one more time, would you stand? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I commit this message to you. Lord, I pray that you, Lord, who laid this upon